right, take your Bibles and stay standing. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to read verses 32 through 38 together, and we will read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 32, you join me on verse 33, and we'll alternate through the rest of the passage that way. Matthew chapter 9, verses 32 through 38. And let's begin. As they went out, behold, they brought him to a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And let's finish together on verse 38. Ready? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you that you have given it to us word for word as we need it to live this life. I pray that you'd help us today. May this message to your people through your man be exactly what your people need. Holy Spirit of God, may I not speak. May you do the speaking through me today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Jesus was not a man who was known to sit down in an office in the middle of town and wait for people to come to him. Jesus was not your typical, what we would think, modern-day denominational-type pastor who sat in an office waiting for the crowds to come his direction. The Bible says he went out into their villages and he met them. It says he went about all the cities and villages. Wow. He was out in the streets. He was out where the people were. And he got his hands dirty by going where the needy people were. It didn't say that he went hobnobbing with the wealthy. It said he went about teaching, preaching, and healing. He went to where people who had needs were and did his best to meet their needs. Now, he was doing all he could to help people. As he was out and about, he was helping all kinds of people. Sit up and listen to me for just a second here. I say this often. I've said it several times this week, and I say it virtually every week of my life. Grace Baptist Church is not a museum where you go and find relics on the wall and show off what people have done. It's a hospital where people come and get help. We're sick and we're in need, and a hospital's where you go where when you're in need and can't fix it yourself. Now, I say that because here in Matthew chapter 9, there was a man who had been possessed of a devil, a demon. And the Bible says it caused him to not be able to speak. It means he was dumb. Doesn't mean dumb like, anyway. That dumb there meant unable to speak. I didn't fill in the blank. You did, all right? Jesus looked at the man and said for the devil to leave him, that demon to be that was controlling him to be out, and the devil left him. And the people were saying, wow, he did that in the power of Satan. No, he didn't. He did it in the power of God. May I say right here, witchcraft, demonism, all that kind of mess is all wrapped together and it's real. It was real back then. It's real right now. Harry Potter is just as wicked as the devil because it is Satanism. It is demon possession. Now, I know that's not popular in our society today, but I don't give a rip. I'll tell it like it is. Now, he cast out this devil, and it's amazing. Did you ever notice when something good happens, everybody tries to give the devil credit? Well, he did that because he did it in the power of Satan. Why would Satan cast out Satan? It's amazing how even back then they were fighting God. Amen? And by the way, I'm going to make a statement here, and please listen with both ears and your mind, all right? If you miss one part of these next couple statements, you're gonna take offense and you're going to get mad at me, but you didn't listen if you did. By Jesus doing this, I want you to notice something. No races were mentioned. Jesus did not choose who he healed based on their race. He looked at all human beings the same way. By the way, that's what we're to do. Red and yellow, black and white, doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, tall, skinny, short, not so skinny. Doesn't matter if you're old, doesn't matter if you're wealthy, doesn't matter if you're poor. You see, all people need help. It doesn't matter what your race, doesn't matter your social standing. Folks, inside of you, your spirit and your soul, it has no color and it has no wallet. Human beings have a soul and a spirit that has no race and no money value attached. You see, their skin color did not matter. Jesus didn't go to a certain neighborhood and say, well, I'm going to do this because you're this color. No. Said he went to all the cities, all the villages, healing and preaching and teaching to all people. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because we're all sinners. I don't care what color of sinner you are. I don't care what race of sinner. I don't care what social standing. You're a sinner. By the way, so am I. We're all sinners. And that's all that mattered to Jesus. They were human beings. Now, our country is a country full of people. We need to quit looking at race and start looking at people. Everybody understand that? It's about time we quit deciding what we do based on color or race and start doing it because it's for people in general. Now, listen to me very carefully. Jesus, by the way, it's not a matter of this race. Their lives matter. All lives matter to God. You know, it's just as racist for black people to carry a sign around that say Black Lives Matter as it is for black people to think that all white people hate black people. That's not right either. And by the way, it's just as wrong for a white person to hate somebody based on their skin color. I'm against it. Period. End of discussion. Check me out. I've been preaching for 34 and a half years. I have preached to every culture of people in America. I've preached in Mexico. I have spent about 11, 12 years of my life in the South Chicago area, and it's predominantly black. I've preached in Gary, Indiana. I have preached in Maryville. I've preached in many black areas. I spent 4.5 years in Charleston, South Carolina, and it doesn't matter what the race. People are people. Don't you dare call me a racist. Just so you know, I have the goods to back it up. How about you? Now, that's why I wanted you to listen real carefully so you didn't misquote me, all right? Jesus was helping all people. Now, after all of this, he's going from city to city, village to village, helping all these people. The Bible makes a very interesting statement. After he was doing all this, the Bible then says, he was moved with compassion. He was moved with compassion. The Bible says that he saw so many people with so many needs that he was literally beginning to be moved with compassion. The more people he saw that had needs, the more he saw the need, and he was then moved with compassion. Matter of fact, he said he saw them hurting, and he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. Listen to me. That means this. He saw people who were wandering around unprotected from people who could destroy them like a sheep that's out in the middle of the wilderness with no shepherd around to protect. It was tired. It was weary. It was afraid. And it didn't have any leadership. And God said, the more I see people, the more I see them in their needs, they're like sheep wandering around with no shepherd. It seems so often to me that Christians today are not moved with compassion. Christianity today is lacking a true biblical moving of compassion. Oh, I did not say that they weren't warm and squishy. We've got all the warm, squishy feeling garbage out there we can put up with. Got a bunch of mealy-mouthed, sissy-britches preachers out there that, oh, we just got to feel this, and we got to love, 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 love. But that's not real moving of compassion. I'm trying to be couth. I was going to say I'm about ready to barf, but I shouldn't say that in the pulpit, so I won't. I've had it up to here. How's that? With all of the Christianity today is, well, you need to do everything you do because of love. You need to go to church for the right reason. Everybody doing all right? Let's just all get along and we can help the world be a better place if we all just get along. I'll be honest with you. That kind of mess is why our country is in the shape it's in right now. Used to be a day when a man of God would mount the pulpit of a church and preach against sin. Now, let me say this. There is more preaching today on feeling love, and there is less love and moving of compassion than any time since the flood. You turn on the radio today and listen to all these sissy britches preaching their little sermonettes, sucking on their cigarette about love, 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 love. Or you get the intellectual and they'll talk about God. They'll talk real fancy and make you think they're intelligent by how they talk, and it make God want to throw up. Herein lies the problem. We are focused on the motive of the doer instead of the action for the one who needs something done for them. Christianity has become so focused on a motive of why they're doing what they're doing, that, may I say this, people's needs are going left unmet. We're more concerned about why people do things instead of somebody getting what they really need. I had some unintelligent idiot call me about a year ago. He said, I know where you graduated from Bible college. I said, good, I do too. He said, you're one of those people that believes in bribing people to go to church, aren't you? I said, excuse me? He said, yeah, you probably run buses or vans and bribe little boys and girls and people to come to your church because of a cute little toy. That's not why they should go to church. I said, excuse me? I said, Jesus fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I said, he had the first Filet-O-Fish Sunday ever recorded.
That's right. Amen.
He said, you can't bribe people to go to church. God's not going to bless that. He got me mad. Excuse me, righteously indignant. Brother Buck, I shouldn't have done it. But I did. I said, excuse me, how many people did you have saved in your church last year? He said, well, we had almost 50 people saved last year. I said, dude, I had that more in the last 3 weeks. He said, we had over 700 people saved in the last year. Well, how many of them really meant it? I said, as many as your 40-some.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, who died and made you God?
Amen. Who are you to judge? I said, I'm not there to judge. Why are you? I said, your problem is you're too lazy to get off your chair and go out and knock on doors. Phone call ended shortly thereafter. See, that's somebody more concerned about a motive than somebody getting what they need. Let me bring it down to where we live. When's the last time your doctor walked in when you were bad sick and you said, what's your motive for being here? He's going to get your money. Doesn't matter what his motive is. May I say this? You don't care what the motive. You just want the cure. You got a kidney stone. You don't give a rip what his motive is. You just want the fix. Amen? I've been there 5 times. Ladies, you're about to have a baby. Not my wife. Praise the Lord. You don't care what the doctor's motive is. You just want that puppy hatched. Amen? Now, wait a minute. Why are we so focused on a motive? Today, I want to show you how Jesus teaches us to be biblically moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. By the way, I'll say this. Jesus was moved with compassion, and he had people that hated his insides. Did you ever notice where Jesus went? Everybody just didn't follow him saying, love, 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 love. It wasn't this picture painted by some sodomite in the 1500s of this long-haired Jesus that wiggled when he walked, looked like some effeminate little sodomite out of Houston or San Francisco. People didn't leave men, manly men didn't leave their businesses to follow a guy that wiggled when he walked. There were fishermen that left their fishing business immediately and said, I'll follow you. Now, a guy that wiggles when he walks, I'm not following. And Jesus didn't walk around with his hands folded saying, just love, love, love. He didn't make a whip and walk into the temple and chase out the money changers and kick over the table saying, love, love, love. He made a whip, kicked over the tables, he made them lose their profits and said, my house is not going to be a den of thieves. Get out of here. Right. You're going to make profit off the people of God. This is a church. Get out. Amen. Whew, my kind of man. Amen. Yes, don't believe all these pictures you see in the Bibles put out by liberals. Right. Number one. No, be nice maybe. Jesus helped people until he was moved. He did not wait to help people until he was moved. Let me say that again. Jesus helped people until he was moved. He did not wait to be moved to help people. I want you to look at your Bible again. Look at verse number 35. The Bible says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I want you to notice something. It didn't say he was moved with compassion. Then he went to all the cities and villages, teaching and preaching and healing. It says he went to all the cities, all the villages, teaching, preaching, and healing. And then he was moved with compassion. Jesus got busy doing and helping people, and in the process, he was moved with compassion. He did not wait for a feeling. He went out in obedience, and then he got the feeling. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? We have churches all over this area, all over our country, and all over the world that are saying, well, you wait for the moving of the Holy Spirit and then go out and do what he tells you to do. No, go out and do what he tells you to do, whether you feel it or not.
Right.
My dad and mom sit right back here. if it were trash day and it were time to get the trash can out, my dad said, "Craig, go take the trash out to the front curb." I didn't have to say, "Well, Dad, I don't feel like I'm moved to do it." Because I would have been moving very quickly. Because my dad used to teach me, either you do it without the moving or you'll feel it and then you'll do it because you were moved. Folks, we don't have to feel a moving of compassion to obey the Word of God. Amen. We are to obey the Word of God, not worry about the moving, but the compassion will follow.
Amen. Yes,
sir. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun about now. I'm going to bring it right down to where you live. Amen? You don't always feel the compassion with your spouse like you should. But fellows, obey her anyway. Can I tell you something? When you first, I've been married 25 and a half, almost 26 years. Do you know I love my wife far more now than I did 25, 26 years ago? Now, I thought when we were dating, I couldn't love her any more than I did right then. Guess what? I didn't have enough experience to know. We hadn't been enough through enough problems, trials, and three children to know how much we loved each other. We survived the teen years. Shoot, that deserves a medal right there, amen? Now, wait a minute. We survived all of the junior high years. Glory to God. Now, there's not much difference between a 3-year-old and a 13-year-old, just so you know. They walk the same, talk the same, think the same, and there's not much difference other than one's bigger and says more words. Now, wait a minute. With your spouse, you're not supposed to wait for the moving of compassion. You're supposed to do what your wife needs or your husband needs. Eventually, the feeling will come. Fellas, do you think your wife feels like washing your dirty, stinky clothes all the time? But she does it with compassion after she's been married to you for a while. She doesn't always feel like doing it. But guess what? She does it out of compassion. She's been moved in the obedience to do it. Not obedience to you. Obedience to her love for you. Do you think she always feels like cooking your meals? No, that's why you go out to eat all the time. Told you I was going to put it right down where you live, amen? Now, wait a minute. Do you know sometimes, everybody look at me, and I'm going to say this as kindly as I know how. Do you know you don't always feel like loving your child? Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are days you want to pinch their little head off and spit down the hole. You say, "You shouldn't say that." Well, I'm sorry. I'm just being as honest as you are. You don't always feel like loving that little booger. Now, wait a minute. Do you know that when you obey the parenting rules, so to speak, by the way, I believe in disciplining children. I do not believe in abusing children. I believe in lovingly disciplining your children. If you can't do it out of love, don't do it. Period. That's called abuse. You lose your temper while you do it, you crossed a line. You go to your room and calm yourself before you do it. Everybody doing all right? We have quit disciplining our children and we wonder why we don't have any compassion in our country today. My Bible says that love disciplines. I didn't always understand it when my dad disciplined. My dad wasn't one of those that said, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." He made sure it hurt me more than it hurt him. You say, "Well, he warped your psyche." He didn't call it that, but he did warp it a few times. Now, wait a minute. My dad loved me. Disciplining a child does not change what wrong was done. But there is often attached a punishment, sometimes a physical reminder of, I'm not going to do that again. I remember what happened last time. That's not worth it. When you hide your peas under the cushion of the kitchen chair and forget about them to go out and play, and mom finds them 2 days later when she's cleaning, and the beating that comes after that, you don't hide your peas again, amen? You learn to swallow them whole. You learn to hold your nose and down the hatch. Whatever it takes, get them puppies down. But don't hide them under the cushion of the chair. We're getting ready to redo our kitchen for my wife's Christmas present. I said, honey, man, we're getting to the age. These wood chairs are getting hard. I said, you ought to look into getting some cushions. She said, can I trust you? I looked at her, I said, shut up. I said, I don't have to eat what I don't want to eat anymore, amen? Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Some of you think you love because you feel. No, you love by obedience, and the moving of compassion comes later. We have many new people in our church. Some of you are amazed that somebody that does not know you could love you almost immediately. Can I tell you why? We've learned to love people in general, and you're just one of us. In the process, we get moved with compassion. I spent 25 and a half years of my life in the ministry. I spent 35 years almost preaching. Can I tell you something? I have not seen, I have not heard one thing in my life that does not move me to tears just about. I see person after person after person after person after person with a need. And it grieves. It hurts. And I don't mean this the wrong way, but I understand what Jesus meant by being out, seeing so many people that hurt that you're moved with compassion. It grieves me sometimes to go to the hospitals, seeing so many people in need. I was at a hospital a few months ago. Matter of fact, Brother Buck, it was when you were in the hospital. You know this is true. His ticker was bothering him or something or other. I forget even. I was in the intensive care ward. And while I was there, a nurse came to me and said, you're Pastor Bush? I said, yes, ma'am. Somebody in room down around the corner asked for you to stop by and see them. I talked to Brother Buck for a little while and prayed with him, cheered him up. Well, we told jokes to one another. And tried to cheer him up a little bit, prayed with him. I went down around the corner, and it was somebody I knew. Wow. They said, would you just pray with me? I said, I'd be glad to. It just breaks my heart. So many people just dying for love. I stopped back by Brother Buck's room and said, man. I said, it just amazes me. People are starved for love. It hurts. You know, you don't wait for a feeling of compassion before you go out and tell lost people how to be saved. I'll make a statement here. If you're waiting to feel going soul winning, you'll never go. If you're waiting for God to make you feel that you should go out and tell others about how they can miss hell and go to heaven when they die, you're never going to go. But in the process of going and going and going and going, when you do go, you'll have the compassion necessary to go soul winning. I can't tell you, and I've said this before, I go out and knock on doors virtually every week of my life. Can I tell you something? I still have the same human fears you have. Brother Gus, I still haven't gotten over. Man, I hope they're not home. I'm your preacher. I'm telling you the truth. I still feel that. You say, why? It scares me. But when that door opens up, something kicks in gear. And it's just very natural. Say, why? Because I've obeyed, the compassion follows. Now, I still have those human fears. I push that doorbell first, then I knock. But when I do, it's like, oh. And then I hear footsteps, you know. They're here. Okay, God, please help me. You say, you shouldn't do that. Okay, then you can go out as bold as you want, but that's how I feel, just so you know. But guess what? I'm still out there. I'm still out there. You see, too many people want to be moved before they obey. And God says, you obey, and the moving follows. A man called this church this week. He's on deputation. He said, Brother Bush, you probably don't remember me, but you were getting ready to leave the church you worked at in Indiana. He said, you were only there for about 5 or 6 months before you left when I got there. He said, but I came by your office, and I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. I don't remember you. I had talked to 1,000-plus people a year. There's no way I was going to meet him, thousands of people a year. And he said, I talked to you. He said, I'm now on deputation. I said, well, congratulations. He said, just want you to know, the 2 or 3 times I came to see you, he said, it changed my life. I said, really? How? He said, you didn't know this, but he said, you kind of corrected me. I said, I did. I said, was I nice? He said, sure. He said, but I came to you and said, how do I know which field that the Lord wants me to go to? And you told me, don't worry about the where, you just do the what. God will make the where very, very clear to you. He said, just so you know, you're dead right. He said, now I know where I'm going. He said, I was too worried about the where, quit doing the what. He said, you got me busy doing the what. He said, I never worried about the where, and God showed me exactly what I was supposed to do. I said, good for you. Can I tell you what? You don't worry about the compassion, you just start obeying. Did you know you can't take the gospel to the wrong person? Did you know you can't help the wrong person? Man, I've knocked on doors before looking for somebody and knocked on the wrong door. But guess what? I didn't knock on the wrong door because I invited them to church. Some of them got saved. Amen. I'm going to make a statement here. Our courts, our press, and our government is run by people who want to know the why instead of the what. Everybody listen to this statement. The only time why matters in a court decision is on the degree of murder, not that it is murder. Was it premeditated or not? That's the only time motive matters in any court case. Our press is obsessed with, why did this person commit this crime? Why did this person commit this crime? Why did this? It doesn't matter why. Did they commit the crime? Period. End of discussion. We are putting motives in people's heads of potential motives, including our government, as to why people do what they do. May I say this? The why doesn't matter. You know, if I told my child not to take the cookies out of the cookie jar, and they took the cookies, it's called stealing. Doesn't matter why they did it, they did it. Everybody doing all right? See, race doesn't matter, gender doesn't matter, age doesn't matter, financial status doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you're doing. Did you follow the law or did you break the law? Period. End of discussion. Did you know that if an officer pulls you over because you're doing 55 in a 35 zone, he's not doing it because of what color you are, what kind of car you are driving, or how much money's in your wallet? He's doing it because you broke the law. Everybody doing all right? Now, just so you know, yes, there are a few bad officers. There's a few bad people in any profession. But quit judging all by a few. And just so you know, I've been around the press enough, I don't even believe them with what, if they, well, this is the truth. It's amazing how many of them have the truth and get it wrong and have to retract it. Too much opinion is added these days. Everybody doing all right? So, number one, Jesus helped people until he was moved. He did not wait to help people until after he was moved. Number two, and I got to hurry. The next 2 points will go a little faster. Once Jesus helped until he was moved, he then helped people because he was moved. He did not wait for a moving before he helped people. He went about doing good, helping every person he could. In the process, he was moved with compassion. Then he began to help people, Brother Jim, because he was moved. Can I tell you something? When you get to that point, it's fun. It really is. Man, I'm having the time of my life. I'm enjoying life. I don't enjoy everybody's problems, but I sure enjoy trying to go and help everybody I can help. I really do. You see, more people get helped after you've obeyed them, obeyed God, because you want to help them, than would had you waited until you were moved to help them. How many people have to get go without help before you're moved? Let me say that again. How many people have to go without help while they're waiting on you to be moved to help them? No, you go out and obey and start helping. Watch this. Then you'll do it because you're moved, and more people are going to get help after you're moved. But how many people are you going to pass until that happens? Jesus didn't pass anybody. Verse 35 said he went to all the cities, all the villages, and healed every disease, every sickness. He was teaching, preaching, healing. Guess what? A lot of people got helped. He mentioned villages, cities. That means at least two villages and at least two cities full of people got help before he was moved. You go attack four communities, and I'll promise you, you'll get moved. Just so you know, he didn't stop there. He went to help more people. When I was a teenager, my mom and dad, we had a man come through our church from a place called Bearing Precious Seed, a man named Carlos Demarest. Carlos Demarest was one of the most zealous soul winners. I think I can say this, probably the most zealous soul winner I've ever met in my entire life. He may not have been prominent a name, but I don't know a more zealous soul winner than Carlos Demarest. And he was a nut. I mean, flat out nut. I went on three different trips with him to Mexico. We'd get in a big old 1950 GMC pusher travel bus, like a coach bus. We pushed that thing more than we rode it. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. It's a wonder it got anywhere. We would go to Mexico in that thing, and we'd go back up into the mountains. We were in Chihuahua and Chihuahua City and Cuauhtémoc and all different places in the state of Chihuahua, right across from El Paso and Juarez and all up through the mountains there. We crossed the same river 11 times and had to get all the guys off the bus, push it across the river seven times or so on the way up. And in the middle of the night, coming back, we had to do the same stupid thing. Now, wait a minute. I went on three different trips. I saw thousands of people saved in those three trips I made with him. Watch this. I got called to preach on that. Let me rephrase that. I surrendered to preach on that trip. First one. I got back. We had seen 12, 13, 14, 1,500 people saved in just a couple weeks. Got off the bus in the parking lot there in Canton, Ohio. West Tusk ran right along the front edge of our church parking lot there. Man, we had seen victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. Now watch this. There's a fellow walking down the front of the church, across the parking lot, headed to Wendy's next door. Brother Carlos, he used to call me the Burning Bush. He said, "Burning Bush, go get him." Yes, sir. Say, why didn't you question him? Because he was too big. I grabbed a gospel tract, my New Testament, went chasing after this guy, won this guy to Christ on the parking lot of our church. And for the first time I realized I didn't have to travel 3,000 or 4,000 miles to win people to Christ. I could do it. They're walking across the parking lot of the church. wonder how many people have walked across this property and nobody's ever stopped them to give them the gospel. Man, we got back from soul winning yesterday. Brother Stoltz and I were in here talking, some others. Somebody pulled up and they're on their phones. I said, Brother Stoltz, go get them. They were doing some kind of stupid, crazy treasure hunt or whatever, one of these online type things. I don't know what it's called. What is it, Ellen? What is it? Yeah, geocache, whatever that is. I thought, well, bless God, if they're on my property, they're going to get it. Brother Stoltz said, well, the price of parking here, you got to take one of these. I loved it, I loved it, I loved it. By the way, before that trip, I saw hundreds and hundreds of people saved. After I saw the multitudes, I began to see thousands saved. And since that day, I've seen hundreds of thousands saved. Hundreds before I was moved with compassion, but hundreds of thousands since. You see, let's quit trying to judge our own motive as to why we're doing right while so many people are dying and go to hell. Let's just go do right. So many people are worried about, well, is my motive right? If you're obeying, your motive is right. Well, I just don't feel like I, it doesn't matter how you feel, obey.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Obey. Number next, and I have to hurry. Once you begin to obey, and then you are moved to compassion, watch this, you then get others to help you help more people. First, you obey. Then you are moved with compassion and you help more people because you're moved with compassion. And then as you're moved with compassion, watch this, you get others involved to help you. I want you to notice the scripture again. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Watch this. Then saith he unto his disciples. Wow. He then got 11 men around him and said, fellas, we've been obeying. I now have the compassion. It's time for you to get off your blessed assurance and get out here and help these people. Now he was doing the work of 13 instead of just one. He got more people involved with him after he was moved with compassion. Somebody is sitting in this room today. You've never told anybody about Christ. You'll begin obeying. I'm moved with compassion. I'm trying to gather around me more people that will obey. Then they'll be moved with compassion and will reach more and more and more people. I'm not interested in building the world's largest church. I'm interested in reaching every person we can reach in Jefferson County, Berkeley County, and all over this area, because that is our commission from the commanding officer called Jesus himself. It's not a matter of the size of the church. It's a matter of the obedience. Then you'll be moved with compassion. Everybody doing all right? Jesus got his disciples obeying so they could then be moved. You know why? Because one day Jesus wasn't going to be there. One day he wasn't going to be there to move them. Now watch this. The goal is to help as many people as we possibly can and reach them with the gospel. Folks, people are dying and going to hell all over this area. Do you know it's not hard to look at somebody and say, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven someday when you die? Boy, that was real painful, wasn't it? Well, I don't know how to do it. Grab you a gospel track and follow the scriptures, and it'll show you step by step what they need to do. Come, we'll take the Bible and show you as we go out and tell others about them. But may I say this, you say, well, I just wouldn't know what to do. Then bring them with you to church, we'll tell them. It does. Say, well, some people might be offended. When the doctor tells you you have a disease, are you offended? And you might not believe it at first, but eventually it's going to sink in. Everybody doing all right? Man needs to be told he's a rotten, filthy, lousy sinner, scum of the earth, bound for hell, and needing a savior instead of trusting himself.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Say, well, I think my good works can outweigh my bad works. No, they won't. You'd have to be as good as Jesus Christ. Guess what? You lose. Well, I was baptized in a church. I don't care if you were baptized in every creek and know every tadpole by name. That's something you did. I got a baptistry sitting right there. I can baptize you every service and you still die and go to hell. Baptism doesn't wash anything away but dirt. Baptism is a symbol, just like my wedding ring is a symbol. You know, if I took that ring off, I'd still be married. But people know I'm married because I wear it. That's all baptism is. It's a picture representing the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which is what you trust to take you to heaven. That's all it is. It's not the Methodists and where they pour it on you. It's not the Presbyterians and the Catholics where they sprinkle you with it. Are we doing all right? I'm having fun. See, I'm compassionate about it. I've been moved with compassion. And I'm trying to gather around me people that will obey and do it whether they feel it or not. Watch this, because one day you're going to feel it. One day you'll feel it. Wait till the first person you win to Christ actually dies. And you realize they're walking streets of heaven because you told them how to get there. Miss Kay and Kermit called me here about a year ago, about 8 months ago, I guess. Someone they knew was diagnosed with cancer and was dying. They said, "Preacher, pretty sure he's lost." No pressure. We got in the car, drove way over into Maryland, went into the hospital, walked in. I thought Kay and Kermit both were with me. Kay's daughter, I sat down, introduced myself. Oh, about 15, 20 minutes later, I saw a man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. Whew, I was about to have a spell. I stood up, got ready to walk out. Kermit wasn't there. We walked out. Kay says, "Where's Kermit?" I said, "I don't know. I have my back to all you. You tell me. He's your husband, not mine." We walked out in the waiting room, and Brother Kermit was on his knees, praying for that man to get saved. He got saved. And, what, about 6, 8 weeks ago, maybe, he died and went to heaven. Can I tell you something? That's enough to move you with compassion. That's enough to move you with compassion. Can I tell you why? Had somebody not been concerned about him, he'd be burning in hell right now. Huh. You see, Grace Baptist Church, it's our job to go out and tell others about him. Right. It's our job to bring them in as visitors. It's our job to help the people we can help. By the way, don't worry about feeling it. Just do it. Eventually the feeling comes. May I say in closing, if you want to wait for a feeling, you'll never do it. Because you won't get the feeling until you obey. You won't. Listen to this statement. All these love, 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 love churches. Oh, you don't do it with a bad motive. How many people are getting saved in their church? I didn't say how many people are attending. How many people are getting saved? There's a lot of things that can draw a crowd. But that doesn't mean people are getting saved. People aren't getting their lives changed. Well, they're showing up to church. I'm glad they're going to church, but if they're not getting the truth, what good is it? Ball game can attract a lot of people. There's things in the pasture that'll attract a lot of flies. Some of you will catch that one by slow freight. I'll be honest with you. I can hardly drive through Berkeley or Jefferson County without weeping. I really can't. I've counseled many, 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 many college, Bible college preacher boys. How do you know if you're supposed to pastor?
God call you to a person or to a place? When God changed my calling from being to a person to a place, I knew what God wanted. And I argued with him, just so you know. I can't hardly drive between here and my house and not just weep, seeing people. You know how many times I've stopped and I drive about half a dozen different ways to get back to my house, stopped and saw somebody in need, jumped out of my car and handed them a track and tried to help them a little bit. Whew. I drive by, and I'll make a note. We need to go over here and take a group over here soul winning. We've got a group over here. We need to go soul winning over here. Man, there's a pack of folk right here. And by the way, I thank God, Brother and Mrs. Collin here, about 6-8 months ago, they went out Charlestown Road, and they went off all these little dirt trails. They hit every house on those little dirt trails. Say why? That's what it's all about. Folks, if you're waiting for a feeling, you're not going to be moved. You're not. Fellas, when you saw your wife the first time and she made you tingle, if you didn't obey and say, "Would you go out with me?" Guess what? You weren't moved. You could have felt it all you want, but until you got the guts to go ask her, I know what I'm talking about. I never thought something 5 foot tall, blonde hair and blue eyes could scare a grown man, but it does. And it took me 3 or 4 days before I had the guts to do it, or the sense. Then I got the moving, amen. I did the obey, and then I got the moving. Then I've been paying for it ever since. Can I tell you something? I've given 13 years of my life to this area. I love this area. Hardly a street in Berkeley or Jefferson County I haven't been on. Hardly a one. My daughter will be out soul winning or be at work and she'll tell them who she is and they'll say, "I know your dad." It's either duck or pucker at that moment, amen. But may I say this? I thank God. Now I can do it because I moved. Can't tell you every time I did it, I was moved. But in the doing of it, I became moved. Quit waiting for the feeling. Start the obedience. Then the feeling will come. Then more people will reach because you're moved. Now watch this. And as more people are reached because you're moved, you're going to get other people involved in doing it. Is that not what the Great Commission's all about? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. You go. Then you have the compassion to bring them into the church and teach them. And then you get them involved with you going out and getting other people saved and bring them to church. That is what our command is all about. Let me ask you a question. Are you sure you're going to heaven someday? I don't say that out of hate. Not at all. I say it out of love. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. No one. There's not a human being on the face of the earth. There's not a religious cult or sect that I would say, good, they need to go to hell. I don't believe in that. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Any. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's concerned about all people. Can I tell you something? You don't have to walk out those doors unsure of heaven. It's not a religious experience. It's not joining this church. It's not obeying this preacher. It's not being baptized. It is doing what God's word says to do. You're a sinner, just like I am. Because we're all sinners, we all deserve to die. That's why all people die, because we're sinners. But that death is more than just your body. There's something inside you called your soul. It's got to go forever somewhere, either heaven or hell. And if you die in your sin, you will go to hell. That penalty was set before man was created. That hell was created for the devil and his angels. God made that place for him, but man did the same disobedience
that the devil and the angels did, so the same punishment is required. Jesus didn't come and die for the devil and the angels, but he did come and pay your sin debt for you. And that's all you have to do is trust what he did to take you to heaven. That's how simple it is. It's a free gift. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure, without a doubt, I'm going to heaven when I die." Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Not all hands went up, and I appreciate your honesty. I will not embarrass you, just like I did not embarrass others. But who would say, "Preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know that someday." Would you raise your hand? All right, there's one. There's another. In a moment, we'll stand to our feet. The music will begin to play. When we do, if you just raised your hand, you come to this altar. If you're a man, we'll have a man take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Take about 2 minutes. If you're a lady, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. Maybe there's something inside this truth today that you needed. Who'd say, "Preacher, something tucked away inside that today. I needed that." Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Good. Many of you need to use this altar and just come tell the Lord what it was and get it right with him. If you've been saved, never baptized, we can take care of that today. Doesn't take you to heaven. Just makes you obedient. But if you're not sure you're going to heaven, don't walk out those doors on your way to hell, please.